There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the number two show, the only live talk show from a toilet to you watching on a toilet. Let's be honest. You're taking a break from work. You're looking at your phone. You're scrolling. You're on the shitter. You clicked on this. And now here we are, face to face. Your pants are around your ankles. And I'm your host, Rafe Williams. And I'm here to get you through this hard dump with another titillating episode of the number two show. For those of you coming back who are fans, welcome back, you shitheads, you Rafeaholics, you stall tactic masters, whatever you're calling yourselves. We're still working on that. We're still focus grouping that. But you're here live with the number two show. And this episode of the number two show, this on this very special episode of the number two show, we'll be talking about friendship. And when I talk about friendship, I thought, why not have a friend on? So I've invited my friend and the captain of the number one show. Please welcome to the number two show studios the incomparable, lovable St. Louis icon, nay, national treasure, Scott Rizzuto, everybody.
Keep going.
That's all I had.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Wow.
I was nodding my head like, yep.
First,
come on.
Yeah. First, the audience was awestruck and said nothing, and then standing ovation.
I love it.
Great. I appreciate you being here, Riz.
So happy to be here. Back in the stall.
Where you're back in the stall, dude, on a live stall.
It's been a little while.
And you've done a live with me before, yeah?
Yes, I have. I think the very first one, we were trying to take calls.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have come a long way.
We've improved that process, my brother, quite a bit since you've been here. I look forward to showing off our new call-in system that I have right here in front of me where I can control who I'm talking to and I can drop calls. I'm a big boy now.
Well, this is the first time I'm seeing the baby changing station.
Yeah, this is nice, right? Got a nice little desk here. It's a baby changing station. I got my little plant and my number two show coffee cup and my computer, and I am able to kind of, I got the mothership here, or the mother shit, if you will, trademark. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate you coming in because the theme of today is friendship, and we're friends.
Yeah, you're my buddy. We've done a lot of stuff together.
We've done a lot of stuff. Prior to the Riz show, we were friends, and we've done a lot of stuff together, and I feel like, you know, working together for the last year, I count you amongst my close friends, whether that's...
And it's the same goes the other way.
Well, that's great. And today, one of my other friends who passed away, Kenny DeForest, it's Kenny DeForest Day in Springfield, Missouri, his hometown. He's a very funny comedian. He did our show last year, and unfortunately, he passed away in a freak accident, which sucks. It sucks losing a friend. But I thought, I was thinking a lot about Kenny today because the Springfield, Missouri community, well, they're having a big comedy festival this weekend. They've got Hannibal Buress and Lisa Traeger and a whole bunch of other comedians coming in. To honor Kenny, we're going to do a memorial service, have a pickup comedians basketball game. Got a lot of cool stuff happening. And that's Kenny on the screen. Very funny dude. If you haven't ever seen Kenny perform stand-up, man, go and check him out. There's Kenny when he played Division II basketball at Drury.
He was, when he was on with us, he told some really funny stories about his basketball playing days.
He did. He talked about Tyler Hansborough dunking and putting his nuts in his face.
Yes.
And that's the moment he knew he was going to be a stand-up comedian and not a professional basketball player, which, God bless you. Love Kenny, love his family. I'm looking forward to that. But, you know, that got me thinking about, you know, just the general theme of friendship. You can take Kenny down. We'll put all of the socials up on our socials about the festival down in Springfield and things like that. But it got me thinking this week, and I'll be honest, full disclosure, when I was down in Austin, there must be something. Last episode I did with Learn, it was called Mercury's in Retrograde and Buttholes Are Open. And I got to tell you, I don't know if something is in the air or if I'm starting to believe in this astrology shit, but I feel like everyone's struggling right now. I got a ton of texts from friends while I was in Austin. Like one, you know, I had a friend that's in the throes of alcohol stuff and he's hurting. And I had another friend, a girlfriend of mine I haven't heard from in a long time. And her text was, her text goes, hey, what's up? And I go, not much. What's up with you? And she goes, just crying.
Oh.
And I go, oh, well, we're coming in hot. Let's get started.
It's nice to be that friend that people could lean on.
That's true. That's true. And I do feel like that sometimes. I feel like I am such a baseline. I'm a pretty baseline chill guy.
A voice of reason sometimes.
A voice of reason. And pretty steady, you know. So at least since I quit drinking, I think a lot of people see me as like kind of a baseline. So a guy that can be a good sounding board for things. But there's times that in my head, there's a circus going on.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's hard for me because when I'm having problems, I feel like I don't have someone I can call sometimes. And
well, for me, you know, I do have people for some reason want to unload on me.
Yeah.
And I got my own problems. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't need anybody else's problems.
Yeah. You're pretty. I think you give off a vibe of like someone who would commiserate in misery with.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of the show that we do.
Yes.
So I think sometimes people are like, yeah, I want to unload some trauma. I get a lot of trauma dump. And I feel like you could probably be victim of that at times, too.
Yeah, I really got to be in the mood for it, though. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Really got to be like, I got to, in my mind, know I'm going to
you gotta prep
take on it. Somebody else's problems.
Yes. You're really good at shutting it down. I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as like, all right, Riz, I'm just going to be out with it. I'm like, I'm going to stop you right there. I'm not in the mood to hear about your problems today. Yeah. Let's do something fun. Let's talk about something fun.
Yeah. Which I think is a valuable skill too. Being sure. Able to deflect back onto like, hey man, instead of us letting it get heavy, cause I'm not here for it. Let's keep it light. And I'm good at that too. Sometimes I think that that can be problematic for me at times because sometimes I feel like that's the only thing people want from me. They only want me to be like the funny guy that's like cheering them up. Mm. And then if I have an actual problem I want to talk about, they're like, no, I don't want this part of you.
Yeah, do you find yourself sometimes seeing a situation or a conversation become or go towards the uncomfortable and you kind of course correcting? Like, yeah. Hey, let's talk about something else.
Yeah. Yeah, I do that.
I found myself doing that.
Yeah, you're good at it. So a question for you that I would have.
Yes.
When you're having a hard time or when do you have a friend? Do you have like a, because I know you have a brother and I have brothers. I don't necessarily call my brothers for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I have my wife who's been my sounding board for, you know, 25 years.
Okay.
So she knows me the best. She's the one that could get me back to a place where I need to be before I go over the edge.
before you burn it all down.
Yes. Yes.
So you don't have anyone outside of your wife?
I do.
Would you say your wife is your best friend? You want to say that?
Yes,
live,
Rafe.
On the air? Okay.
Yes, Rafe. And she's my Snuggie Wuggums too.
Oh, so. Snuggie Wuggums.
And my best friend. Okay.
All right, man. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's good that you're in tune. I thought 10 years ago you
can you tell her I said that?
Yeah, I'll send her. I will clip this out and send it to your wife.
My best friend is on the East Coast. My first roommate Ben, who I lived with for 5 years, and we go, you know, a couple weeks without talking and just, you know, pick up the phone and just get right back at it. And he's also my sounding board. And it goes both ways.
Yeah.
You know, he's been in some situations where he's called me and has, you know, had to unload.
Yeah, yeah. Is this the Ben? Is this the guy? Was this the wedding? The Jamaica wedding guy?
Yes, this is the guy that, you know, we're at his destination wedding and was called off the night before.
Oh, man. Tell that story. Can you tell that story or no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can.
Yeah, give us a little bit of that.
You know, destination weddings are magical. In fact, I'm going on a destination wedding in a couple weeks. We're going to the Dominican Republic. Very lovely couple. My buddy Dan is getting married. I'm honored to even be invited to go. And my buddy Ben got married or was supposed to be married in Jamaica.
Mm.
I would say we're going on maybe 12, 13 years ago. And I was the best man. And we all went down to Jamaica. Very very cool resort. We were there, Ben's side of the family, his wife-to-be's side of the family. The night before the wedding was the big rehearsal dinner.
Right.
Where everybody got together, and it was at the resort, and there was this big party, and there was singing, and there was dancing, and the drinks were flowing. I mean, we're in paradise. We're in paradise. And I said, all right, as the best man of the wedding, I got a really good bottle of whiskey. And I said, all right, all the guys in the wedding, all the guys here, let's go down to the beach, and we'll send Ben off the right way, have some whiskey, and just, chat, and just the guys hang out. Okay, so we all go down to the beach. We're down there maybe 45 minutes, hooting, hollering, having a good time. We get back to the rehearsal dinner, the rehearsal party, and Ben's wife-to-be, for some reason, had it in her head that I had acquired a hooker.
I don't know why. I was standing next to a very nice lady named Cinnamon, and
I didn't get a hooker, Rafe, just so you know.
Okay.
I was with Ben's dad, and even her side, her family, all the dudes came down, and we weren't doing it. It was just a bunch of guys together. I think in her head, if a bunch of guys get together on a beach, you know what happens?
Prostitution.
Hookers come out from the water.
Right.
Hookers come from the water, just out of nowhere, like in scuba gear. Just all they wash up onto the shore. ones
like
are flying. I don't know.
In the James Bond movie. So happened?
All I see is I'm standing with my wife, and she was pregnant with our daughter at that point. So yeah, it'd be 13 years ago. So we're dancing, and see off in the distance as the sun is setting, beautiful Jamaican beach. Right in the distance, I see the wife-to-be, the bride-to-be, attack my buddy Ben like a spider monkey. Clawing, scratching, punching, kicking. I mean, really beat the crap out of him.
Good Lord.
Yeah, at the rehearsal dinner.
It got violent.
It got violent. I mean, he had scratch marks on his face, all over his body. And he restrained himself. I mean, he didn't retaliate or anything. Just try to hold her back. And it was so surreal, you almost didn't realize, are they dancing? What are they doing? No, she's attacking him. She's attacking him.
Did you guys just let it play out, or did you pull her off of him?
I think his father wound up running over and kind of separating. I was, Ray Ford, to tell you, I was in shock. I was in complete shock.
I'm sure.
And I go over and I said, Ben, what happened? She thought you got me a hooker.
Damn.
I go, that couldn't be further from the truth. The attack happened in front of the officiant, by the way, of the wedding to be the next morning. And
was it like a clergy member?
Yeah.
Or was it just like Bob Marley?
It was like a Bob Marley type of guy.
Okay. And he was wearing like a drug rug, and he's like, what's all the hostility, man?
had Ben not called off the wedding, the officiant told me that he wouldn't in good conscience marry them had Ben not called off the wedding.
Really?
So this wedding was not going to happen.
No matter what?
No matter what. They're supposed to get married at 11 a.m. the next morning.
Okay.
What is going to happen? He calls off the wedding. Now we're all stuck in this resort. We still have 3 or 4 days left of the vacation. And now both families, both parties have separated themselves.
Okay.
Nobody's talking to each other. We're sitting on the beach the next morning, all of us going, what the hell just happened? And as we're sitting there on the beach, the crew from the resort, they start setting up the stage and all the stuff for the wedding. And I had to tell them, hey, this is not happening. This wedding, wrap it up. This is not happening, this wedding. We wound up sending Ben home early. Said, hey, man, you better get on the shuttle back to the airport, go home, and we'll handle it. You don't need to be here.
Right.
So he gets on the bus. And the maid of honor happens to be on the bus too. She was going to go home early as well. So they're sitting next to each other, and he says, "I don't know what the hell happened. This is the girl I love. We'll spend the rest of our lives together." And the maid of honor goes, "Yeah. Ever since she got laid off from her job last year, she just hasn't been the same." Ben goes, "She got laid off from her job?"
Whoa, man, really?
And she goes, yeah, she got laid off from her job. He goes, I had no idea. She gets on the train with me every morning. Damn. And we go to work. She would be on the subway, the New York City subway. He would get off at one stop. She would ride to the next stop, get on the train, go back home. Never told him.
Just lied about being
just
employed.
Just lied about being employed.
That's like a Costanza move.
Dude, I'm telling you, her parents died under weird circumstances too.
Jesus Christ. He was dating a sociopath.
She wound up holding all of his property like hostage, like cut up his suits.
Damn.
Like stole his skis. She stole his skis.
Stole a man's skis. What does Ben do for a living?
He worked for a video game company and did like sales.
Holy smokes.
Not like a GameStop or anything. He were like actually like the company that makes the video games. And he had to travel to Miami like 2 weeks later. She wound up getting into the apartment, taking all his stuff, putting it in a storage locker somewhere in Queens, holding it hostage.
Damn.
Took his skis, cut up his suits. Yeah, he really dodged a bullet there, actually. It actually all worked out for the best, honestly.
Did you have to, like, kind of be the voice of reason through that whole process?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, as his buddy. You're really trying to tell a guy you dodged a bullet.
That's a delicate, nuanced thing.
Yeah, also, you know, for me, it was like, dude, she sucked. I mean...
Or maybe not delicate or nuanced at all. Maybe you just come in and you're just like, ah, man, well, she sucked a big fat cock. Eh?
Now she had displayed some odd behavior in the past. At my son's first birthday party, she got so hammered.
Okay.
And was cursing up a storm that she had to be taken away.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, and these were little subtle signs.
Where was she from?
She was from the New York area.
Okay.
I don't remember how they met.
She had that New York crazy. That's big city crazy.
She was crazy.
Did you end up just, be honest.
Yeah.
As a token, as a gesture, then when all this happened, did you end up getting him a prostitute later?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. Good.
Once the dust settled, because that's what friends do, Rafe.
That is what
friends
do.
This is a show about friendship.
You're right.
And that's what friends do.
Your friend is like, you know what? You were heavy charges were levied against you. You might as well do the crime. That's what a good friend does.
And I got him like a good one, too.
You did?
Yeah, like a high class one.
Oh, good for you. How high class would you spend?
Oh, a couple $100 an hour.
For
companionship, you know?
Was this a New York high end or was this Jamaica?
I don't know. What do you consider higher end? I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, what city did this happen in?
Oh, we're still going with the bit?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. We're still going with the bit.
I wanted to see how far you would take it.
I took it to here.
Sky Rizzuto did not buy a prostitute. Hubbard Radio would like to apologize for the previous thing that just happened on this podcast. All right, cool. Well, I got a couple people in the chat and hopefully send in some emails. I'll have Josh in my ear, but I got some callers. You want to take some calls and see what kind of...
Sure. I also do want to say that Ben is with a lovely girlfriend right now.
Yes.
And
his life is going well.
Yeah, he did have a false start again with another fiance.
Well.
But now he's got a great girl. She's awesome, and things are working out well.
Because of your friendship and your guidance.
I'd like to say that.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yes, right. To the phones.
To the phones we go. We're going to go to the phones right now in a segment I like to call Bustin' a Grumpy with Rafe and Scott Rizzuto. All right.
Oh, we got music too, huh?
Hello, you're live on the number two show with Rafe and Riz, and we're talking friendship. What can we do for you? Who am I talking to, and what is your issue?
This is Tim. It's good to speak with Rafe and Riz again.
Hey, Tim.
Miss you guys.
Hey, Tim. Hopefully how are you, buddy?
We can catch up some more at your next live event.
Great.
Hey, if this is for hooker advice, I don't really have any.
I do.
No, my best friend from high school. I mean, we met and hit it off immediately. This dude is more of a brother to me than my actual brother.
Okay.
And over the years, we've kind of taken two different paths. He stayed with, you know, the kind of partying and whatever, but we still hang out and get along. And I moved into the responsible route, or more responsible route, go to college, get my trade school degree, and continue on down that working path.
Okay.
Well, he's getting married this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was diagnosed with MS.
Okay.
So he can't do what your average 40-year-old male can do anymore. So I'm just looking for a little bit of advice, what you guys would do for a bachelor party for someone who just doesn't have that mobility and can't do the strenuous things that we do.
Okay.
Well, you bring the party to him. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I'm with that. I think you bring, what is he into in terms of like, what are his interests?
Lap dances?
well, definitely, but we could get into an issue with, you know, the future wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, you tell her to hit the bricks.
Go crazy.
Yeah.
Hit the bricks for the night. Go stay with a girlfriend.
What's he into? Give me the lowdown here. Obviously, you're not going golfing.
The whole marijuana scene.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Not going golfing, not going paintball. I mean, go-karts was an idea, but
okay.
He still drives a car, you know what I mean? So go-kart, similar.
Is he in a wheelchair?
No. I mean, he's still working. He's just wore out by the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, he's moving slow.
Well, you could you could do paintball. You could put him in a go-kart, all right, and then you guys hunt him. And yeah. He's got the advantage because he's got wheels, you know what I mean? And you give him, like, turrets on the go-kart filled with, like, paintballs, and then you guys go out, and it's, you know, he gets to put him on one of them little mechanized rascal scooters that's got the tank tracks on it or something like that, and then he's just, you know, basically you turn him into Master Blaster from the Twisted Metal franchise, and then you guys, he hunts you down one at a time. Most dangerous game. That's a fun bachelor party.
And that's combining, you know, two things that he loves.
That's right. That's combining his love of paintball and his love of go-karting.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you know, once he's hunted you all down and sprayed you with paint and put your lives in danger, and you go back to his place and you bring the party to him and just like surround him with all of his favorite things. And I'm guessing he's a pretty cool dude. He's probably pretty understanding. And if he likes weed, you know, maybe you go to Suede or one of these places. I'm assuming you're in Missouri and you just load up on the best weed you can get.
The kindest of the buds.
The kindest of all buds.
All the kind buds.
Kind bud for your kind bud. And we'll end it there.
Yes, for the kindest bud in my life. There you go. There you go. I like what you guys are thinking.
Well, you seem like a cool dude, man, a good friend. So take good care of your boy. He's only going to get married once. Just kidding. He'll probably get divorced and be married several times. But treat it like it's going to be the only time.
Yes, this is his second, so.
Oh, it's his second.
All right, well, then it's not even that big of a deal. You should have led with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't even go paintballing then if it's second.
Yeah, just him with paintballs.
Just buying some weed and go to his house. That's it. That's good enough. Second wedding. Come on.
All right,
bud.
All right, good luck.
Good talking to you. We'll see you. All right, I'm dropping that call.
Yeah, listen, in all honesty, if he's having trouble being mobile, bring the party to his house.
Yeah.
You don't even have to go anywhere. Just get all his buds. Tell the wife-to-be, if she's one of these chicks, hit the bricks for a night. This is not about you.
Exactly.
This is about the hubby-to-be. Hit the bricks. Let the fellas hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad's going to happen. We're in the safety and confines of the home. Deal with it.
Yeah. What if he ended up in the same situation as your friend, but she's beating the shit out of the guy, he's in a wheelchair?
Well, at least they didn't have to take a plane to get there.
That's a good point. You jumping in on that one, though, or are you just letting it happen?
Oh, she's beating up somebody with MS?
Yeah, she's just beating his MS ass.
Well, you know, the camera's coming out.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm yelling world star.
Yeah, good point. Excellent point. All right, we got another caller. Let's see what we got here. Hey, you're live busting a grumpy with Rafe and Riz. What can we do for you? What's your name? What's your issue? What's the friendship thing that you're facing that we can help guide you through with loving and tender care?
So my name's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Good talking to you guys again. So it's not so much an issue, but a friendship story.
Okay.
Best friend of mine, we've, you know, been best friends for well over a decade now. Started how we met. I was playing football with his twin brother. A little bit of an altercation started. I got upset to the point where I was about to basically kick his brother's ass. And he comes out, sees this random kid that he doesn't know about to get in the fist cuffs with his brother, and proceeds to beat my ass up and down the street.
Yeah. Oh, so he beat your ass.
Not to say that there wasn't a fight put up, but I will admit I thoroughly got my ass handed to me by this guy, and it kind of like cemented a, I guess you could say, mutual respect, because like he found that I could take a hit, and I found that, you know, he can hit somebody who's not going to. Oh yeah.
And you guys became buds after that, huh?
Yeah, not long after. I mean, I'd say pretty much once all the tension died down, we were like,
once you regained consciousness, once you woke up, you're like, hey, man, let's be pals.
No. I wasn't knocked unconscious.
Yeah, I'm a comedian. I'm doing jokes.
It was pretty much like a, hey. Yeah.
What, are you guys still friends? You guys still tight? Best friends, you said?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Rafe, I feel like that's a guy friendship thing.
It is. How many years have you guys been friends, man?
I'd say we met about, it's almost going on 2 decades now. So about 19 years.
Yep. All right. That's a solid friendship. I'm dropping you. Thanks for calling in. We love you, bud. See ya.
You know, Rafe, I think that, when guys fight.
Yeah.
It's that testosterone kind of dump.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, you kind of have a beer and everybody's all good.
Yeah, there's something about that. I see this guy online all the time that he's trying to get guys to hang out and like rub their buttholes together or something. I don't know if have you seen this dude online that's like a bald guy with a beard that says it's like the ancient Spartans used to like sit nude and like get their musk and taints all over each other and then like air out and like rub their ball sacks against each other?
No, my YouTube algorithm has not hit upon that.
Well, sorry, man. I'm assuming for research I'm doing for the show, it's coming up in mine, and that guy's always
mine's mostly cooking shows.
Mine's mostly guys
rubbing buttholes,
sunning their buttholes together, I guess. But that's kind of what it's the same theory, right? It's like, and I agree with you. Like, do you have somebody in your life that you've had, and you have friends that you've had like physical altercations with?
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to fight it out.
Yeah. I think when you get a little older, like now that we're 40, there's the repercussions are too strong. Mm. But when you're young, you're like, you can bounce back from that kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like when girlfriends fight, you know, that that rivalry will last way longer than when two guys fight it out.
That'll stand the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
Two women who are angry at each other will outlive the cosmos.
Yes.
That animosity will float past the edges of our own universe and infect a multiverse. They'll fight in the next life.
Where if guys, you know, friends or not, sometimes you just got to punch each other in the face. And that's all it takes.
Yeah, it's gotten, I hate that because I know that that's like toxic masculinity, but sometimes that gets the job done too.
Yes.
Like sometimes you just got to let it happen and move on. In fact, there were times when I was a kid, and I don't know how your childhood was growing up, where you just had to, like, I knew that in junior high was like a prison yard. And it was like the big kids were going to pick on the little kids. And you kind of had to prove that. Hold on. I got an airdrop coming in. I'm going to accept it. You kind of had to prove.
Oh, you got my dick pic? Good.
Yeah. Thank you. you kind of had to prove that you were willing to fight to get people to leave you alone. It was almost like a rite of passage. And sometimes I just had to fight a friend of mine who was approximately the same size and weight.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm like, hey, we both got a fighting chance at this, okay? Like, if you beat my ass or I beat your ass, it's not personal. We're going to be buds. We're going to sit together at lunch. But for right now, we got to fight. It's recess, and we got to show these older kids that we're a little crazy, a little mm-hmm. loco. And, you know, I fought several buddies of mine growing up that are still friends of mine to this day.
I had a pretty tight-knit neighborhood. There were a lot of kids around the same age. And every kid on the block fought each other at least once. And I'm talking fist-to-the-face fought.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it be after a wiffle ball game or whether it be, you know, during a tackle football game on somebody's, you know, front lawn.
Yeah.
And the next day, it'd be fine. Like, I punched Eric in the face on a Tuesday, Wednesday afternoon. I was there. Can Eric come out and play football?
Yeah, man. I had to fight. Yeah. It's weird how that was just part. I don't know if it's still like that, but I remember one time.
Nobody's parents got involved either.
No. And well, that's not true. My dad drove me to a fight one time. My dad picked me up at the basketball courts and was like, hey, somebody stabbed your brother with a stick. And he's at this kid's house, and they're out in the front lawn, and my dad pulled up, and I got out of the truck and beat the shit out of this kid. And, like, kind of like the old guy's story, and all I remember was, like, as I was punching this kid in the head, he was like, there's tubes in my ears. There's tubes in my ears. And I was like, okay, sorry, dude. I don't know what that means. My dad's making this happen. And then I got back in the truck, and he drove me up to – and one in that same vein, one time, I remember Jerry and Kevin Wright were brothers – and one of them flipped off my mom and called her a bitch or something. I don't know what was going on. Because, you know, parents kind of did get involved in the neighborhood. If kids mm-hmm. were acting up, they'd be like, hey, you need to get home. And my dad was cleaning fish in the yard, and he goes, those two boys called your mom a bitch. You need to go handle that. And we were in the middle of a wiffle ball game. So we got into it. We got into an argument, and it was 2-on-1, and I ended up working these guys over with one of them skinny yellow wiffle bats. And, you know, just kind of like got, you know, had welts all over them and stuff. But then, like, you know, a half hour later, they were in the game. We were just, and it was over.
All good. It was over.
And
you took your licks and get back to it with your buddies.
Maybe it's trauma bonding, but you're causing the trauma on each other. So it wasn't necessary trauma, but you still bonded over it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll allow it. That's a good friendship. We're going to allow that on the friendship.
If you could survive being punched in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're buds for life.
Yeah, you're right. I have one I want to ask you about. Somebody put it in the comments. I don't know. Let me see. I don't think we have any more callers. Let me look. We do not. So I'll ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I want your opinion on this one. Someone was like, how do you tell a friend? This is important, and I know that we've both been through this. How do you tell a friend that they have stinky breath? Like, if you're how do you approach, or maybe body odor or something like that? Because I know that we have had situations in our lives, we've talked about them off camera, where someone, I have a couple friends in comedy whose breath is just kicking like Jean-Claude Van Damme. I mean, it is fucking aggressive. It is like a dead body and Dookie getting up in your nostrils.
Yeah.
I had to ride 2 hours to a gig in a Honda Civic with a comedian whose breath was bouncing off the windshield and literally making my eyes water. How as a friend do you approach delicate subjects like
that? Well, I mean, obviously you can't do it in front of other people.
Well, yeah, okay.
I mean, that's number one. You have to have some tact when it comes to it. Oh, yeah, just take them aside. Hey, man, we're buds. Just let you know, man, breath stinks. That's it.
It's that
easy.
Sometimes
it just takes just that. Your breath is kicking like Bruce Lee.
Yeah, your breath is kicking like Bruce Lee, man. And what's hard is when it's not a close friend. What's hard is when they're in that second sphere of friendship where you're like, this could be the end of the friendship.
Yeah, it's got to be a close friend. It's got to be a close friend.
It's not a close friend. So if one of us came in the studio.
I would tell you.
And we're like, hey, man, you got BO.
Right, I would tell you.
Because that's a shared space.
Right.
You're sensitive.
I'm contractually obligated to be with you 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. So I ain't getting out of that. And we're about to do. But if it's somebody not that close, I don't know if that's my job to say something.
Okay. That works for me. Another question from the comments. Oh, I got another thing coming in. Are you sending me the same WikiHow? How to tell someone they have bad breath. Question in the comments. This is probably, I know you're a big music aficionado.
Sure.
Someone said, can you talk about the power of music in friendship? I know you said you were friends with Dana Anderson and used to have deep conversations about music and life together. Yes. Dana was a good friend of mine. Another friend of mine that passed away at his own hand, which is some of the hardest. That's a real hard one to computate as a friend. And I like music, and I hung out with a lot of musicians because I worked at a bar in Edwardsville where we had live music 6 days a week. So I have a lot of musician friends, and there's a lot of parallels between musician and comedy. And I've had deep talks with friends about music and over music, and that can change the dynamic. And that, you know, that's a love language with some of my friends, like sending each other songs. Sometimes I still have a buddy that I don't talk to him, but he'll send me a song every once in a while. That's a way that, like, people that are really special to me in my life that I care about a whole lot, that's how we talk to each other sometimes. Do you have, is that something that you have in your life, or is there something in the vein of music and friendships?
Whenever I think about music and friends, I hearken back to high school and being in somebody's car and cruising around listening to, God, what was coming out when I was in high school? I mean, Rafe and I, we grew up in high school with some of the greatest music ever being released, the mid-90s.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember my buddy getting, you know, the Offspring Smash record and, you know, putting on the tape or the CD in his Dodge Neon.
Yeah.
And driving around listening to Come Out and Play and cruising with the windows open. And, of course, my when I moved out of my house, my roommate and I used to go to, you know, 3 or 4 concerts a week.
Yeah.
Discovering new music. And there was always music being played in our apartment. I think music plays a big part in my friendships.
Yeah, same. I would say that, like, there's certain friendships too, certain times, because, you know, friendships, some are they're a season. They're lifelong friendships. Mm-hmm. You don't see people or you don't maintain, because some friendships are work. You have to maintain them. You have to water the garden. I have some good friendships where I can always pick up right where we left off, even if I don't hear from them for a long time. But that's because we spent a lot of time on the front end of that friendship, really, like, bonding with each other. And I feel like sometimes certain periods of your life, like music, certain musical eras can become the soundtrack of those friendships. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah, friends from high school. I'll hear a song now, and I'll hearken back to those days. Even now, maybe as adults, you know, got some, you know, other adult friends, and they got 2 kids, and it's like, hey, the Chili Peppers coming to town. Let's all go together.
Yeah. That becomes like a...
And that becomes a thing.
That's why people, like, love the nostalgia of music. Yeah. It takes you back to another time. Like, I still have a friend from that I remember, right? I rode to high school with them every day, and they had a Cars Greatest Hits cassette tape stuck in their cassette tape player. So that is what we had to listen to. Mm-hmm. That was all... They could not play the radio. It was broken. So it was like the Cars... Who's going to drive you home? You might think I'm crazy. What are some other Cars hits? Help me out here. I Think You're Just What I Needed, which I think is an underrated Cars song.
You say Drive?
Drive, yeah.
Oh, dude, that's a song that makes me cry, too.
Who's going to drive you home
tonight? Oh, God, yeah, somebody drive me home. I'm crying.
Only problem is 3 dudes in a car in a Ford Escort at 7 o'clock in the morning on the way to school.
Dude, I remember my friend Mike in high school. He had a cassette tape of... one of the Led Zeppelin records.
Yeah.
And Fool in the Rain, the song Fool in the Rain, I guess the tape player had eaten the tape, and it was one of those you had to pull the spool out of the tape player.
Yeah.
And the tape crimped at one part, and every time it got to that one part of that one song, it would skip. And now whenever I hear that song, I think of the skip and I think of Mike.
Yeah, man. Those things get ingrained in your brain. Like, I remember, like, my buddy that when Eminem came out, you know, like, who I was sitting and listening to those CDs with. It's just so funny, like, I had another friend who I played baseball with, and we played on a traveling baseball team, and Blondie's Heart of Glass got stuck in his CD player. So it's like, you know, you try to look cool when you're an athlete, and everybody's rolling up in their cool trucks with their state. Back then, it was a big deal to have, like, the big... state-of-the-art sound system. Like, if you had a truck with, like, a big crew cab in it, Everybody wanted like a speaker box in their truck. It was a 90s thing. You wanted to be able to like to hear the bass and be like,
no, all bass.
All bass. So he had a huge sound system, but Blondie's Heart of Glass was stuck in. So everybody was like rolling into these baseball games, like listening to like, you know, Rage Against the Machine, 90s hip hop. And then we would roll up in his truck and it would be like, walked on love and apples and guys. And I was like,
yeah, we just had a heart of glass. Yeah, with the treble turned all the way down and the bass turned all the way up.
Yes, which sounded terrible.
Terrible.
But that's how we would roll
in. But man, so, it thumped, didn't it?
It did thump. Blondie thumped. And I honestly love that song. And anytime it comes on, I text that person. Because I think that's the connection to music and friendships. And I've had a lot of conversations with musician friends. I think that music and comedy are very, there's a lot of relativity there. I think jokes have rhythm. Music has rhythm. A lot of musicians I know wish they were comedians. Every comedian I know wishes they were a musician. Mm. So I think there's a lot of overlap with that kind of stuff. And that was something I also remember, not necessarily music, but, dude, I remember when, like, Adam Sandler, What the Hell Happened to Me, or Dennis Leary, I'm an Asshole, like, when those CDs came out in the mid-90s, dude, we would sit in the parking lot of a McDonald's or Dairy Queen hanging out and just sit on the tailgate of somebody's truck and listen to all of those bits from like
the Sandler one. My buddy Matt, who I'm still friends with, had that, and we always used to listen to that in his car.
Yeah, it was great. Like,
what the hell happened to me? You know what's funny? I heard Dennis Leary's Asshole the other day.
You did?
Came up on a shuffle on my Spotify account. I hadn't heard that song in 20 years. Still holds up. Still a great song.
Yeah, it's great. I use public toilets and piss on the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Still I walk around up in the summertime and say, how about this heat? I'm an asshole.
You're an asshole.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. It's still in there. And it's also like that becomes like your language as a kid. Like everything when you're a kid, when you're a guy anyway, is like just yelling movie quotes and shit like that at each other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the GOAT, Adam Sandler's GOAT sketches, or the severe beating of a high school janitor.
Or the toll booth guy.
Toll booth Willie.
Come on. These are classic bits.
All classic bits, and all, I guarantee guys I went to high school with, I could just text them a piece of that, and it would start a text thread.
Oh, yeah.
Back and forth, which is a fun way to communicate. I have one friend that we pretty much just communicate. Our twin language became quotes from
through
movies.
Movie quotes or comedy bits.
Exactly. I got it. Cool. Let me check and see. I don't think we have any more callers. I am going to do a WikiHow. If you're welcome to stay for it, or if you want to be off the hook and go home and enjoy your day, that's up to you, man. I'm leaving that up to you.
What are we doing here? What's so?
I got so at the end of the episode, I do a quick WikiHow. And it's just me going through a WikiHow, and this one is how to get someone to be your best friend again.
I'm already in the stall. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. This is our WikiHow of how to get someone to be your best friend again. This one says, if you haven't spoken to your best friend in a while, or if the two of you had a falling out, it can seem difficult to reconnect. You may worry that things will be awkward, or they won't want to speak to you. However, through making amends after a fight or reconnecting after time apart, you can redevelop your connection. Let's see if we can see. You can see in the monitor what I'm pulling up, right? Making amends after a fight. Apparently, it is to sit down and make a list. Reflect on an argument. After having a fight with a friend, you may be feeling upset, mad, or hurt. Focus on these feelings and think about what happened to produce them.
Who's making a list?
I don't know. This girl right here, she's making a list, but she's also very tired because she looks like she's about to fall asleep. Yeah. Write out your thoughts. Oftentimes, emotions can be chaotic after a fight. Take some time, jot down how you feel, things you regret. Remind yourself that fights are a natural part of a relationship. Handled correctly, they can make a relationship stronger. I agree with that. There's some people I probably need to do this with.
Start writing.
Yeah. Then you just get a meme that says, sorry, apparently. Yeah. Wrote that big list out, and then it just is, and then you went with the GIF. That's crazy that you did that. Like, this girl had the opportunity. She wrote this whole thoughtful thing out and then just went with the GIF. Says, prepare to apologize. Through the argument, may have not been your fault exclusively. You may want to be the bigger person. I don't know how you feel about this. Says you might say something like, I'm sorry for having said those hurtful things. You may need a little time before you're ready to apologize. That's okay. Wait until you're calm and rational to apologize so that you can articulate your feelings when the time comes. Have you ever done this?
Yeah, well, so, you know me, I'm a hothead. Sometimes in the moment, I will say something or do something that is untowards, and it sometimes takes me a little while to realize.
You got to go home.
Rare, though, I was the one that was wrong here. I will go and I will contact the person.
Yeah, you'll reach out.
I will.
I feel like I've witnessed this. I feel like I've witnessed you calming down and saying, hey, heat of the moment.
Heat of the moment, my bad. I'm a passionate person.
And that's a big, that's a hard thing to do, you know. That's a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah, especially with somebody like an ego like myself.
Yeah.
Got to be the bigger man sometimes, guys.
Yeah, I can be a little, I'll be honest, I can be a little, I'm very open. I'm very open to my own flaws. And I try not to, I don't react in anger very often. But when I do, I can be, that's a flaw of mine. I can be very cutting because words are my business. Mm. And then I immediately feel guilty about it. Or sometimes I can ice people out. If I'm feeling like, if I'm hurt and I go into defensive mode, I can really ice people out. And it's not even, or if I don't know what's going on in a relationship, if I feel like I don't know what's going on in the friendship, you seem like you're mad at me, or it feels like something's off or weird. I put high value on relationships sometimes because at the end of, like, I love comedy, I love radio, all that stuff is great, but to me that's not what life is about. That's not what's important to me. What's important to me are my people, and if you're in my inner circle and like you're my people,
right,
and I feel like something's wrong with one of my people, then I don't feel right.
Well, and I've witnessed that from you, and that, you know, we've worked together for a year now, and even, you know, even after a year, we're still getting to know each other as far as friends and co-workers. And there'll be mornings you'll come in and you'll, you know, y'all shot out of a cannon. And I will got to be not ready for that kind of energy in the room. And, you know, you'll text me like, hey, man, is everything cool? Yeah, no, everything's fine.
Yeah.
I just don't, we're just not sharing the same energy level.
Yeah.
Right now. It's nothing against you.
No, I can do a little exploder in the morning and come in a little hot. I'll admit that. I can admit that about myself. I try to come in with good vibe energy, and sometimes people aren't ready for that at 5:30 in the morning.
Right, right.
And it's not always. There's times I come in, I'm low energy. You know, it's just you got five energies in a room, and that's something I had to get used to. But I always try to check in with my people. Now, this says to get in touch. Apparently, for this specific WikiHow, this is a tight bit. Call somebody while you're standing right next to them. That's hilarious. She's just making a call.
God.
Girl standing right next to her.
That's so cheesy.
That's one way to go about it.
Hi, just checking in.
Now here,
Right next to me.
Yeah. Then you want to set a date. Meet at coffee shop. Just random. Don't tell them which one, though. That's the cool thing. You just say coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And then if you're really friends in the universe.
You know.
Yeah.
In the universe. You know already.
That's right. The universe wants you to be friends. You'll know what coffee shop they're talking about. Otherwise, take your ass to Starbucks and go fuck yourself. We're enemies now. Be sincere and honest. If your best friend knows you, and they likely do, they'll let you apologize. Reassure them you're not making them avoid the same mistakes in the future.
You know why a coffee shop's good? Not many knives.
That's a good point. It's hard to, like,
you don't want to meet at the steakhouse.
No, you don't. You meet at a Texas Roadhouse, you get full on bread, you could lose your mind, get a sugar high going, and stab this person if things are running hot.
With those big steak knives.
Yeah. And you can't do much damage with a coffee stirrer. It's gonna break. Number six, listen. That's not our favorite part. That's not our favorite part of this. We like to talk. But I do think listening is important. I think you have to, sometimes I think people have a hard time articulating things. And then at the end, you cut your hands and you seal it with a handshake, as you can see here in the monitor. You say you're sorry again, you shake hands, and then I guess that's it.
This is it. No, after you cut your hands and you intermingle blood.
Yeah.
Right. This is a blood oath.
It's a blood oath. And you are either now you are together or you are sworn enemies, which is important.
And now you both have hepatitis C.
Yes. And finally,
together.
Yes. You, once you share the bond of Hep C, you're friends forever.
Yes.
Because you're the only person that can donate blood if they're in any kind of car accident. Mm-hmm. So they will have to keep you close if they want to live, which is smart. Mm-hmm. That's how you seal a friendship forever. You give them a communicable disease that is hard to cure.
Smart.
And direct all of your emails to TommyMadern@HubbardRadio.com if you want to sue us for advice given today. And finally, the last step, and I'll be honest, I struggle with this one. Number eight is give them some space. After a heavy conversation, your friend will need some time to think, and that's okay. End the conversation with a hug. You would hate that. If they're willing, and reach out to when you feel they're ready. I have relationships like this where, man, you ever get caught in a trap of like you're trying to give somebody space, but you don't know if that's what they need or want. I'm always trying to give people what I think they need, but sometimes I'm not sure what that is. And then if you give them space, it can feel like you're icing them out.
I always default to giving them space.
Yeah, because you don't want to be bothered.
Nah.
So for you really do that for you.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It's for pure selfish reasons.
Yeah. Well, that's the WikiHow of how to make amends after a fight. I think we pretty much solved that. I don't think that anyone would ever struggle with it again.
After that. I think get out there and just start rekindling and remending fences.
Yeah. We'll do a quick hit. A couple of things in the chat. I'm going to ask you some rapid fire questions. These are quick answers. You don't have to get into crazy detail, but people are asking because you're a guest. How are things with you and Woody?
Oh, great. We talk all the time.
You and Woody are still buds.
Still buds.
Still talk. Yeah. Is there anybody else from your radio past, like when you worked on Stern, that you're still tight with?
Less those people, but every once in a while, it's, you know, we'll call to catch up.
Okay.
But Woody and I talk often.
Is there anyone that you haven't been able to keep a close? Like, is there anyone that you've worked with or anything that's happened that you were unable to maintain the relationship?
Nah. Nah, I'm all good.
Nah, I feel like you're pretty good about that.
Yeah.
We talked about this on the air this week. How do you feel about being friends with exes?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
It's more like how they feel about it. And they do not want to be friends with
me. And they wanted to kill you.
Right. No, there's one ex I haven't seen her in years. Cordial, if I ever run into her.
Okay.
Fine.
All right. Well, sometimes it's okay to be friends with an ex.
I get it, and that's healthy sometimes.
Cool.
And it's also fine that you're not friends with exes.
It's fine. It just depends. I think that's gray. We talked about it on the air. I think it's a gray area. I think if you ended on terms that are reconcilable after a little time and a little heartbreak, you can probably get things worked out. And I believe that with everybody. And
if your ex tried to kill you three times,
that's tough.
It's okay not to be friends with them after.
If you had to call off the wedding in Jamaica because they attacked you on the beach.
And then stole your clothes and cut them up.
Stole your clothes and cut them up.
And then took your skis and sold them.
Yeah, that's problematic. I'm not going to lie. That's a tough one to get over.
And led a secret double life.
Yep, that is also difficult. Lied to you about a job. Secretly, slowly poisoning you with arsenic. Yeah, that's a problem. I'm not going
to
lie.
You don't
have
to be friends with that person.
Cool. Well, that was our rapid fire section, and I believe that is going to wrap up this episode of the Number 2 Show. Thank you to Scott Rizzuto for joining me and being my guest here on the Number 2 Show.
Glad to be back in the stall.
You look good, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Well, that does it for another episode of the Number 2 Show, everybody. This weekend, I'll be in Springfield, Missouri for my friend Kenny DeForest, who passed away. I miss Kenny a lot. I think about him all the time. What sucks when a friend passes away is sometimes there's an immediate outpouring of relief or grief or commiserating, and then they just quickly become an afterthought. And that makes me sad because I think about Kenny was a very talented comedian who had a lot to say, and I think he had a lot more work to do in this world, and it's a shame that he passed away. But we're going to celebrate him this weekend in Springfield. And if you got a friend out there that maybe you got a riff or maybe you haven't talked to them in a while, or maybe you feel like they're going through something, reach out, man. Reach out and talk to them and figure out a way to make the friendship work. If they mean something to you, you gotta figure it out. And sometimes it's fucking hard, and sometimes it hurts, and sometimes it might feel like you're getting your heart broken a little bit, but you got to work at it. And the most important thing is if both people care, it's, you can't fail at anything if you don't quit. So if you care about somebody and they're important to you, be willing to go walk through the mud with them a little bit if it's raining in their life, and try to be a good friend and figure out a way to make the friendship work for everybody, as long as it's healthy and no one's taking advantage of you. I think there's always a way to reinvent a friendship and make it work for you. So until next time, go call a friend right now. Go check on somebody, because none of us are promised tomorrow. And good friends are hard to find. And getting a friend to sit in the toilet and talk to you while you're taking a shit is a really hard friend to find. So thanks again to Scott Rizzuto. Thanks again to everybody who's watching and who tunes in every week for the Number 2 Show. I'm your host, Rafe Williams. Until next time, always pull your pants down before you poop, and don't forget to wipe. Bye!